WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A tornado touched down with little warning in St. Louis yesterday.
My friend said,
"You better come on. We got to go down the basement." By the time I got almost to the window,
boom, boom, boom.
Seven people were killed in the severe storms in Missouri, five of them in St. Louis. KMOV-TV reporter Caroline Hecker is in Clayton, Missouri, just west of St. Louis.
You can see, looking up the street, all of the trees that are now down in the road. And on this side of the street, it's a lot of smaller branches. And then when you look at the ground, you can see all kinds of pieces of roof.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer, elected just a month ago, is telling people to stay home while the search goes on for survivors and victims.
We have implemented a curfew in the area affected in districts, police districts 5 and 6.
Three of the 10 men who escaped from the New Orleans Parish Jail on Friday have been recaptured. Police say there are signs the men had help from the inside. Three employees have been suspended. CBS News New Orleans reporter Katie Weiss says the escape was discovered during a headcount, but police weren't alerted for 2 hours.
The Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office says the prisoners removed a toilet and cut a hole in the thin wall they could crawl through. The inmates scrawled obscene messages for the guards. One was misspelled too easy. Sheriff Susan Hudson.
They were still able to exit the jail about 1:01 a.m. After breaching a wall behind a toilet in the jail, they were seen exiting a door on the docks where we normally bring in supplies, scaling a wall and running across the interstate.
Cleanup efforts continue off Louisiana's Gulf Coast after a major oil spill. It's now threatening marshlands and vital wildlife habitats and fisheries. Coast Guard Captain Greg Callahan says, in fact, much of the cleanup is being done by hand.
They're focused on the loose debris, which is very hard for the skimmers and everything else to pick up. It'll actually jam some of the skimming equipment. So this is a very manual, laborious task.
The oil leaked from a well near a sensitive ecological zone in the Mississippi Delta. To CBS's Scott McFarlane now for the latest on the investigation of a social media post by a former FBI director.
That Instagram post from James Comey, which he took down, was an image of seashells in sand that read 8624. 86, often aligned with the phrase get rid of or take down. 47, reference potentially to the 47th president. The FBI director, the Homeland Security Secretary, said they're reviewing the matter. Whether this ends up in a full-blown investigation or a criminal matter is a much different issue, but there's scrutiny being paid to this.
Comey has been interviewed by the Secret Service. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the Brewers and the Twins tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers host the hottest team in baseball right now, the Minnesota Twins, who've won 12 in a row. Last night, the Twins beat the Crew 3-0. But manager Pat Murphy was impressed with how 26-year-old right-hander Chad Patrick held up through six innings.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff to pitch up here and pitch in big situations. I mean, yeah, he didn't have his best stuff early. He'll be the first to tell you I was behind in the count. I didn't throw the ball great. They battled for the last four innings and got through it.
I asked Patrick if he was able to move on despite giving up a pair of runs early on.
Yeah, after the second inning, I was just trying to get as deep as I possibly could. Just, you know, got to control what I can control out there and execute what I'm trying to do.
And the Brewers made a trade with the Yankees, bringing back lefty Rob Zastrzynski, who was with the team last summer. They've optioned reliever Elvis Piguero. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, some showers around, even a few thunderstorms and breezy, lows in the upper 40s to 50. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day early, then some afternoon sunshine. Highs 60 to 65. Partly sunny for Sunday, highs in the low to mid 60s. Right now it's 48.
Pat Kreitlow.
Pat's still on vacation, but he returns soon, we promise. But for now, we have the return of Bach and the Doc. Dr. Kristen Lyerly sits in the big chair, and we go over all the news from the weekend. Join us
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
We're doing this day without childcare. What we do is we talk about what would happen, what would it look like if we didn't have childcare. But we also talk about what could it be? What can we do to change the system? I love all the protests. I love all the people speaking out against things. But we also need to participate in democracy by saying what we want and what we need and talk to our reps that way. So that's what this event is all about.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, The Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you survived the storms across Wisconsin yesterday. Some pretty significant damage in Dodge County, as well as in the Twin Cities area, including around New Richmond, all across western Wisconsin, and Colby and Marathon County. Again, hope you made it through and are safe and sound rolling into the weekend here. Want to start with a bit of breaking news. If you haven't heard yet, five hardline right Republicans in the House of Representatives voted against Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill that's going to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Yes, it is reversed Robin Hood. So you might think, oh, why did these Republicans vote against the bill? Maybe they actually want to do something for working poor and working people in the United States. No, they don't. They just want to gut even more of the things that help people keep going in these incredibly hard times. And just moments before we came back on air, word has come through. There is reporting that the United States has just lost its last perfect credit rating. What is a credit rating? Well, we all have them, so do nations. It's what credit rating agencies give to a borrower. The United States, when it issues treasury bills, is effectively borrowing from the folks that purchase those treasury bills. When your credit rating is downgraded, just like our credit scores as consumers, when you are downgraded, it means you are a higher credit risk for default, and it costs more. You have to pay more in interest. Please keep your eye on what's about to happen in the financial markets come Monday morning. This is also likely to drive interest rates up. So remember those cheap eggs, gas, and housing that Donald Trump promised? You know, peace between Ukraine and Russia in a day, all those things. Yeah, ain't happening and not happening anytime soon. Also breaking today, Judge Hannah Dugan, that is the Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge, who was arrested on Good Friday for some, what I'm going to call kind of bogus charges for basically controlling her courtroom, which she is entitled absolutely to do. Those are federal charges. By the way, the penalties on those, I think, run somewhere north of 5 years and $350,000 in damages. Well, she has set up a legal defense fund to help pay her attorneys in that case. Now, Make note of this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what someone does when they actually care about conflicts of interest and ethics. Here's what Judge Dugan did with her legal defense fund. There are incredibly tight restrictions on who can donate to this because the judge intends to return to the bench. You cannot donate to the judge's defense fund if you are a Milwaukee County resident. So if you live in the county in which she sits as a judge, can't donate. You can't donate if you're an attorney that practices anywhere in Milwaukee County. You can't donate if you're a lobbyist or work for a lobbying firm. You can't donate if you're another Wisconsin judge. You can't donate if you are a person with a pending case before Milwaukee County Circuit Court, and you cannot donate if you are a county employee. And yes, the only people who can donate are U.S. citizens. They set up a separate blind trust. Hey, That seems to make some sense, does it not? And that trust will be monitored by specialized legal counsel with specialties in legal ethics, and it will be overseen by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Gieske. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you do it when you actually care about ethics and conflicts of interest. I say bravo, Hannah. Well done. Also in other breaking news, former FBI Director James Comey is now apparently under investigation from the Department of Justice for posting a picture on social media of seashells on a beach that were arranged to spell out 8647. He posted on Instagram, "Cool shell formation on my beach walk." In a follow-up post, he said that he assumed the shells were a political message, and he said, "I didn't realize some folks associate those numbers with violence. It never occurred to me, but I oppose violence of any kind, so I took the post down." Now, the term 86 used to be used first in restaurant circles, hospitality circles, meaning 86, the shrimp is gone. We don't have any more of that. Let be 86 that. It's expanded to mean 86, meaning to rub somebody out if you're in the mafia. So this is what happened, sort of the errant social media post. Do I think this was appropriate? No. Do I think it should be condemned? Yes. Do I condemn it? Yes. You got to do better than that, former FBI Director James Comey. But did it merit this from National Security Secretary Tulsi Gabbard talking to Jesse Waters? Take a listen.
You know, whatever his intent, I will tell you that there is a guy in Georgia who was issuing threats on my life about a month ago, and he's in jail today. He has been indicted with a crime, as he should have been, and he is in jail as we speak. So whatever James Comey intent, he and people like him need to be held to account according to the law, which is something that he claims to have given his life for and stands by the rule of law. Fantastic. The rule of law says people like him who issue direct threats against the president of the United States, essentially issuing a call to assassinate him, must be held accountable under the law.
Do you believe Comey should be in jail?
I do. Any other person with the position of influence that he has, people who take very seriously what a guy of his stature, his experience, and what the propaganda media has built him up to be, I'm very concerned for the president's life. We've already seen assassination attempts. I'm very concerned for his life. And James Comey, in my view, should be held accountable and put behind bars for this.
Are you frickety fracking kidding me? I mean, I don't know how someone gets through that interview maintaining a straight face. A position of influence, and people must be held accountable under the law. I'm sorry. Did somebody like Men in Black like delete Tulsi Gabbard's memory about January 6th? No one thinks this smacks a bit of hysteria and total hypocrisy and double standards. again, I condemn what Jim Comey posted. It was stupid. But the idea to even suggest that Jim Comey actually means that someone should assassinate Donald Trump is both ludicrous as hyperbole as it is on a literal basis. Jim Comey is too smart to think that if someone actually killed Donald Trump, that would probably create a complete martyr situation. The man would become that. He doesn't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Please, no one harm whatever that stuff is on top of Donald Trump's head. Please do not harm hair, floof, whatever, Aquanet, whatever that is. Don't harm the man. I want Donald Trump ensconced in a bubble boy area of protective comfort for the rest of his days. I don't want anything bad to happen to the man. No, 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 no. I was enraged when someone tried to kill him. That is so absurdly ridiculous that it beggars explanation. And Tulsi Gabbard knows it. She knows it. As if there was not enough, completely mind-boggling hypocrisy, I just wanted to share with you this additional little fact from the day's breaking news. We were talking a bit about the Supreme Court's birthright citizenship case that they heard yesterday. I was talking about that with my first guest host today, Jim Santel. And I forgot to note this. Again, on the hypocrisy theme this afternoon, guess who came out and said they think birthright citizenship should go away? Just anyway, I'll give you a hint. A widely reviled senator. A widely reviled senator, maybe a senator who, while half of his state was facing blackouts and bizarre freezing cold weather and people were dying, maybe went on a vacation. Yes, the answer to this question is Ted freaking Cruz said we should get rid of birthright citizenship. Now, if you forget about Ted Cruz, he was born in Canada and his dad was born in Cuba. Now, is Ted Cruz a citizen? Yes, he is. His mother was an American citizen. But again, I think that Ted, you might want to try that one out before you ride it off into the sunset. Might be a little bit of a bumpy ride on that one. Hypocrisy seems to be the theme of the day. The Republican Party saying that they're for middle class and working people while providing the largest tax cuts to 100 millionaires, billionaires, and mega corporations. Yeah, that's what they're debating today. Actually, that their tax cut plan would reduce the net income of the poorest Americans and would likely not help at all the vast majority of the middle class. Yep, that's hypocrisy number one. We got Tulsi Gabbard, hypocrisy number two, calling for the former FBI director to be jailed. And hypocrisy number three, Ted Cruz, telling everybody that he doesn't believe in birthright citizenship. Doesn't get much worse than this. Ollie from the Northwoods, what you got for us this afternoon?
Well, just a little bit of hypocrisy by way of our new king. Wasn't it him who reposted, just as Comey did, a picture of Biden on the back of a truck where it looks like Biden's dead? Trump reposted that, and none of the Republicans called for his arrest.
Yeah, Ollie, that's the point, right? The brand of the Republican Party is rules for thee and none for me. It is two sets of operating rules. One for Democrats. You got to tell the truth. You got to have ethics. You got to be above reproach. And we can say all kinds of inflammatory, incendiary, violence-inducing things, and nobody bats an eye. In fact, we'll pardon January 6th insurrectionists that beat the crap out of cops. Nothing to see here, folks. When I come back, we're going to discuss what real system change looks like. because we got an example of it right here in Wisconsin, right here in Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm also going to be dropping the word of the day. It's Free Ticket Friday. You want to get your Brewers tickets? Keep it locked right here. We'll be back after these brief messages on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday afternoon. We're cruising through the afternoon. Hopefully, you're cruising home from work. Please drive safely out there. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's start with the fun stuff, shall we? It is Free Ticket Friday all summer long, all across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network, from morning until the afternoon. In each one of our shows that comes to you locally, in your neck of the woods, we are dropping words to win during our talk programs. All you need to do is text that word to win using the Civic Media app. You can get that app wherever you get your apps from for free. You text that in, you'll get a bounce back text that acknowledges that we've received it. And then on Monday, you will be notified if you are one of our lucky Free Ticket Friday Brewers Ticket Giveaway winners. We're giving away 4 club-level seats, beautiful view of the ballpark. Today's tickets are for this coming Wednesday, May 21st. There's a 12-10 game versus the Baltimore Orioles. Ooh, I do love me some Baltimore. The Wire is one of my favorite shows of all time. I have been in Camden Yards. It is gorgeous. But this game, ladies and gentlemen, is at AmFam Field. Again, if you want to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers game for this Wednesday, May 21st at 12:10, just text in the word WIN. That is W-I-N as in winning, WIN, W-I-N, via the Civic Media app, and you will be entered to win 4 wonderful tickets to this coming Wednesday's Brewers game. But let's get back to the news business. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about system change and how damnedly difficult it actually is. And I want to talk about the Milwaukee Public School System. MPS has been, I think, an example of lack of good governance, lack of good fiscal controls, lack of good oversight, right? And they are, again, today there was some breaking news that the state is looking at withholding funding because they continue to fail to produce the fiscal reports that they need to. There's a new superintendent, and she's been doing a lot of things. She's brought in new auditors. She's looking to reduce the amount of administrators that are in central office, trying to move positions back into the schools. There's a lot happening here. Big systems produce big, complicated, challenging system problems. And there was also a bit of news this week that the Milwaukee business community, including Bader Philanthropies, Baird, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Herb Kohl Philanthropies, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Northwestern Mutual, Rockwell Automation, We Energies, and Waco, that they're going to commit $500,000 to help Milwaukee public schools implement and address the system changes and problems that were identified by independent auditors over the past year. And they did this because they believe in the new superintendent. According to Greater Milwaukee Committee President Joel Brennan, he said that MPS Superintendent Brenda Caselius has, quote, set a tone about her accessibility, her sense of urgency on the job, and the enormity of the task in front of her. And I wanted to use this as an example, as a contrepoint, as it were, to what Donald Trump has been doing with the federal government. Real system change is difficult. It's time-consuming. And oftentimes, while you must move with urgency and focus, it requires some level of consensus building, not just with the people directly involved, but with all stakeholders. I know this. I have worked to reform systems myself. I did it running one of the city of Milwaukee's retirement plans. I built it, rebuilt it from the ground up. I did it in the Office of Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. It took me couple of years at least to do that. But the feeling of change, I will say, the illusion of change, the smoke and mirrors of change, that's pretty easy to do. It's also easy to just break things and not actually fix them or improve them. It's easy. English, Maggie, it's even easier, in my opinion, to tell people that you're changing things, give them the illusion of change, and actually be not just breaking it, but biasing systems to benefit a select few. When people have distrust of systems and institutions, if you come in, you brand yourself as a change agent, you say, I'm doing this, and everybody says, yes, let's go do this. And nobody's really watching how you're, quote, fixing the system. Maybe you're just, you know, giving handouts to your buddies. In my opinion, if you contrast all of the deep embedded system problems in NPS and all of the ways that we know that that system has to improve, and you contrast what NPS new superintendent Brendan Caselius is trying to do, in partnership with the business community, in partnership with the teachers' unions, in partnership with the school board, in partnership with the greater Milwaukee community writ large. Boy, does that stand in sharp contrast to the, I'm going to tell you I'm fixing the problems, but what I'm actually doing is just breaking the whole damn thing and taking the scraps and handing them out to all my favored cronies and the wealthy, which is what Donald Trump is doing. Beware the snake oil salesman of change. Real change is hard, It takes time, and oh yeah, it takes some level of competence. When we come back, we're having that favorite Friday segment called Ask Maggie, where you get to ask me whatever the heck you want, and I, at least hypothetically, have a time-delimited period to answer your questions. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Ask Maggie's next.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief, at least seven people have died in severe storms in Missouri, five of them in St. Louis, after a tornado hit. Here's Odyssey St. Louis reporter Sean Malone.
I'm in a neighborhood called Fountain Park, and everywhere you turn within this neighborhood, your path is blocked by a tree that is down, or in this instance, right in front of me, a one-story building that has been partially turned to rubble.
Seven of the 10 men who escaped from the New Orleans Parish Jail Friday are still on the loose. CBS News New Orleans reporter Katie Weiss.
One inmate was captured hiding under a car in a hotel garage in the French Quarter. Among those on the loose are three accused of murder. Derek Groves was convicted in a 2018 Mardi Gras shooting.
House Republicans will try again to get their tax bill out of the Budget Committee. CBS's Erica Brown.
House Republicans will continue negotiations through the weekend with another committee vote planned for Sunday. House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing for a full House vote by Memorial Day.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's the Brewers and the Twins tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers host the hottest team in baseball right now, the Minnesota Twins, who've won 12 in a row. Last night, the Twins beat the Crew 3-0. But manager Pat Murphy was impressed with how 26-year-old right-hander Chad Patrick held up through six innings.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff to pitch up here and pitch in big situations. I mean, yeah, he didn't have his best stuff early. He'll be the first to tell you I was behind in the count. I didn't throw the ball great. They battled for the last four innings and got through it.
I asked Patrick if he was able to move on despite giving up a pair of runs early on.
Yeah, after the second inning, I was just trying to get as deep as I possibly could. Just, you know, got to control what I can control out there and execute what I'm trying to do.
And the Brewers made a trade with the Yankees, bringing back lefty Rob Zastrzynski, who was with the team last summer. They've optioned reliever Elvis Piguero. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Scarlett Johansson says after her breakout role in 2003's Lost in Translation, she enjoyed success, but it came with the baggage of being offered acting roles that objectified her. The actress told Vanity Fair that she felt she was being exploited and had to have a talk with her representatives about what kind of roles she wanted. She also said her co-star in the film, Bill Murray, was in a strange place during the filming, saying that he was dealing with stuff. Love when people allude to things but don't give you the full tea. She did say she thinks Murray is in a much better place now as life has humbled him. If you haven't seen Sofia Coppola's Lost in Translation, it's a great movie and Johansson is excellent. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, some showers around, even a few thunderstorms and breezy, lows in the upper 40s to 50. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day early, then some afternoon sunshine. High 60 to 65. Partly sunny for Sunday, highs in the low to mid 60s. Right now it's 48.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect to people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
Between 2010 and 2019, 6,000 childcare programs closed. When COVID hit, they were like, we can't do this again. So they invested in us. And now our state is going to be one of six. They took the federal dollars, but our state does zero. You're looking at 25% closing. I am likely going to be one of them.
This would be good to know if you would like to perhaps call your representative.
Yes. Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Benga Ajilore, a former advisor with the USDA, talking about the threats to rural hospitals posed by the Republican budget reconciliation.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody, hope you're having a fine afternoon. Welcome and welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, every Friday we've been doing this little segment called Ask Maggie, where you, the listeners, can ask me basically anything you gosh darn want. And the catch here is I either get 20, 30 seconds, or maybe if Jamie's feeling really generous, a whole minute to answer your imponderables. Jamie, of course, is my senior producer. She joins me now for this great segment. If you want to send your questions in, you can do so on the text line. You can email us at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. We take those all week long. Again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can even give us a buzz, 855-752-4842. Jamie, how you doing? It's nice you're in Milwaukee this afternoon. I'm going to be able to see you after the show.
I know. It's very exciting. I got to tell you, though, I'm exhausted. My kid is working me really, really hard. I'm here because I'm going to be hosting MATC, Milwaukee Area Technical College's Student Ops Day, where they basically take over PBS tomorrow. And he needed a host. I told him I should be 52nd in line. Turns out he went through all 52 choices, and here we are. This is what we do for our kids. I'm exhausted. I have been over at the studio since like 7 a.m. and wrapped up literally about 15 minutes before the show started and got here today so that, you know, we could have a little radio fun and create a little radio magic at the same time. So.
Little radio fun. Speaking of a little radio fun, we are in the midst of Free Ticket Friday. Remember, yes. If you want to win 4 tickets to this Wednesday's 12:10 Brewers game against the Baltimore Orioles, use the Civic Media app and text the word WIN, W-I-N. Remember, all of the rules of the contest you can find at civicmedia.us/contest/terms. Just go to Civic Media's website. You can find the rules.
Text it. There. Just text it through the app. That's easy.
That's right. Text through the app, WIN. You'll get a bounce back acknowledging your text, and we will let you know on Monday if you won. But let's see what listeners have for me this Friday, Jamie.
Before we get started, we've got this really fun new intro that, because of all the breaking news on Fridays, we haven't even got to roll this out yet. So, Jacob, let's hit that because I'm so excited for you to hear it.
Yay.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing, Jamie. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Got to have a little fun. If you haven't noticed, we're going with the game show theme where it's a little bit like, whose line is it anyway? Points don't matter. You're not going to win anything, but we're going to have a whole lot of fun at the end. And so the last couple of editions of Ask Maggie have been more on a serious note. So I feel like we should do maybe a couple more serious, but have a little bit of fun today as well. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I could use some fun.
Okay. All right. So the first question that we're going to ask today is from Amy, and she texted in from Onalaska, and she wants to know, Maggie Dawn, do you have any big plans for the weekend? So Jacob, we'll give Maggie 30 seconds for this one. If you've got any big plans.
Well, first of all, my plan is to have a drink with my amazing senior producer, Jamie, after my show this afternoon. We might have a little bite to eat. Tomorrow, I've got dinner with my mom and dad. A week later, celebration of Mother's Day. I'm not a big out-to-brunch person for these sorts of events, so dinner it is. And maybe, maybe the opera Carmen with my mom on Sunday. Did you read that the woman who's singing the lead in Carmen, I think her name, I'm blanking on her name right now, but she's from Sheboygan originally, and she has sung with the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. She's quite talented, so looking forward to that with my mom. It should be awesome. Good fun.
Awesome. We're going to have a little bit of a family day as well, because not only is the kid hosting and producing this live show, my baby's graduating from college tomorrow as well. So it's of a big deal.
Congratulations your family.
Thank you. I'm very excited. And then the 18-year-old, since we homeschool, we've got to finish up some math, and then he'll eventually get to the graduation part too. My kids are not pomp and circumstance kids, though. Never have been. So I never got to do the dances, right? No proms, anything like that. They weren't pomp and circumstance over high school graduation. And now tomorrow, mom will be working, and the kid's literally going to walk across the stage. He's going to get his diploma, and then he's going to run back to PBS. So he's like, "You don't really need to be there for that, mom." I was like, "Seriously, I don't get anything."
Graduation ceremonies are kind of a drag. Unless you have like the best commencement speaker ever, they're kind of a drag for everybody involved. The kids are itching to get out of there, so are the family. Yeah. They just want to see their kid walk across the stage.
So I don't even know if we get that tomorrow, but that's besides the point. Your weekend sounds awesome and, again, like a whole lot of fun. So let's get to another question, though. Let's do, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe I'm going to give you a minute on this one, because it's a little bit of the economics and tariffs, all right? And Jim actually just called in. Jacob just got to speak with him. He is from Kenosha. And Jim's question is this: why does Walmart charge such a markup and pass tariffs on to the customer? So 1 minute for this one when you're ready, Maggie.
Well, if we zoom way out, there's been such consolidation in so many industries. So whether or not you're talking about on Walmart's grocery end or on their retail end, Walmart can actually shrink their input or their purchase price of the supplies that they need or the things that they're selling to you because they have such market power, right? Which means on a per item basis, even if Walmart's margins shrink a lot, they're still going to make a profit. Now, what happens when you've got inflation or tariffs and it drives prices for retail goods like clothing, sneakers, school supplies, or groceries up, is that a lot of retailers, even when inflation comes down and even when tariffs peel off, will keep their prices high because now their margin is huge. And I believe it's something like 90% of Americans live within 10 minutes of a Walmart. So many of our friends and family rely on Walmart for their basic groceries and household goods and just everyday items. So, excuse me, one of the things that I think has gotten lost in a lot of this discussion is the fact that so many industries across the United States have consolidated to such a degree that a very small handful of companies, and I mean like five or six or less, can, without getting in a room, almost price fix at a level that is above where it would be if there was a healthy, excuse me, that's my frogginess, healthy and robust competitive market. So thanks for that very nerdy, wonderful question, Jim.
It is a good question. And Walmart just made big news yesterday because they were on the news networks. They're one of their financial advisors or financial gurus, I'll call him. I don't know what his official title was, talking about how because of the tariffs, they're going to start have to increasing their prices. And that's overall going to affect people all across, as you were saying, across the country. So that is a really good question. And I think I mean, you've been talking about this. We're just starting to see what the tariffs are going to create for the average family, right? I mean, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg.
Even with the rollback in the Chinese tariffs, we're still at the highest average tariff rate that our country has seen basically since post-World War II. And what's particularly pernicious, Jim, and just to talk about, we talked about this with Richard Trent of the Main Street Alliance, I believe, on Wednesday, which if you missed that show, you can go find it at civicmedia.us on Apple Pods or Spotify, is that for small businesses, if their margin shrinks and shrinks and shrinks because tariffs have gone up and they do not believe they can pass that tariff on to their customers, or customers stop buying their goods because they're so much more expensive, that small business just goes under. Walmart and other massive, what I'm going to call mega corporations, are much more easily able to absorb parts of tariffs and or uncertainty over a period of time simply because of economies of scale. Economies of scale generally means if you have large-scale market integration, in other words, vertical integration or horizontal integration, all these business school terms, you're so big that fluctuations kind of smooth out for you. That's like the really distilled down way to explain that.
Yeah.
So again, tariffs really ultra painful for small businesses. That's why, again, talking with Richard Trent, we're going to be looking at, I think, tens of thousands of small businesses going under. We're going to see, I think, increases in bankruptcy filings and the like because of this prolonged uncertainty and this extraordinarily high tariff level. And, of course, consumer confidence released today, some reports on that, the lowest it has been in a very long time. Consumers and businesses freaked out. What does that mean? Businesses hold on to cash, consumers stop spending, it tightens up the economy, you can end up with stagflation, which means the economy isn't growing, it's either stagnant or actually shrinking, meaning GDP isn't going up, and inflation. Okay, I've gone on far too long. Thank you, Jim from Kenosha. I've just nerded out about econ on
it's important, and it's totally cool that you're nerding out about it, because we have to keep having these conversations, because real people are going to be affected. And I think what you just said is important. I mean, this kind of feels like the George W. Bush, at least it could feel like the George W. Bush economy on steroids. That's kind of what it feels like. And that's kind of the looming feeling I continue to get as we kind of wiffle waffle back and forth on all of this tariff talk. And one day it's this, one day it's not, one day we're rolling things back, one day we aren't. I mean, it just feels like an entire recession, stagnation, inflation, like I said, on steroids. That's what it feels like right now.
Well, it's like just bust out Ferris Bueller's Day Off and listen to the back and forth in the high school economics class that explained that Smoot-Hawley and the tariffs imposed then drove the United States deeper, deeper, and deeper into the Great Depression. Yeah. We don't want to see that here. Jim from Kenosha, for your excellent question.
Good question. Okay. Do we have time for one more this segment?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right. No. Jacob says no.
No, we do.
Oh, gosh.
Listen, Jacob is the boss of both you and I, Jamie.
He's the time overlord, and that's cool. Somebody's got to be that, right?
Someone's got to do all the heavy lifting and hard work around here.
You've got a minute and 5 seconds, ladies.
Yeah, right?
Oh, okay. That's
we can do a 20-second question.
Can we do a 20-second? We can do a 20-second.
I'll ask it really quickly.
A really quick one. This came in on the text line, and the question is, what is your favorite beer? Porter Stout, Scotch, Ale, Lager? This person, I'm sorry I don't have your name because I'm looking at it quickly in our chat. 20 seconds, what's your favorite beer?
I love a red ale. I am one of those weirdos. Love a red ale. That is my jam. Thanks so much to Jamie. Thanks so much to each and every one of you for your questions. Remember, you can submit those. Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us or on our text line 855-752-4842. When we come back, I'm going to have some closing thoughts on the passing of Justice Souter and what he stands for, an exemplar for lawyers, judges, and Americans alike.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media.
Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal, Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matinee on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, she owns a daycare center.
We're doing this day without childcare. What we do is we talk about what would happen, what would it look like if we didn't have childcare. But we also talk about what could it be? What can we do to change the system? I love all the protests. I love all the people speaking out against things. But we also need to participate in democracy by saying what we want and what we need and talk to our reps that way. So that's what this event is all about.
Catch Matinee on air at its new time. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wxco.fm/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. So former Supreme Court Justice Souter died last Thursday. And he's most well known for being a Republican appointee who did not follow Republican orthodoxy as a Supreme Court justice. And the phrase, not another Souter, became sort of the rallying call amongst Republicans. I wanted to talk about him a little bit because I actually think Justice Souter provides not just an example for lawyers and judges about how to be a great lawyer, how to be a great judge or justice, as the case may be. But I think he provides an example to every single American about what actual patriotism is in this moment. Because one of the things that I have noted is that it is so difficult and in my opinion, very much difficult, very differently difficult for Democrats or liberals or progressives to have a calm discussion with fervent Trump supporters. In contrast, I find it the case that many Democrats will concede points, acknowledge uncomfortable truths and facts when confronted with them by Republicans and especially the MAGA faithful, will acknowledge that there is middle ground, will point out extremism when we see it. In other words, I think, generally speaking, Democrats are more likely to have a fair and good faith argument and discussion about policy and politics. And I wanted to read for all of you something that Justice Souter wrote. He was speaking about how to be a great judge, but what he really was saying is to be a great American, we must be willing to be even-handed, open-minded, humble, and then careful and explicit when we are arguing about a legal case or about policy and politics. So I wanted to share this with you. I found it again, courtesy of Georgetown University Law Professor Stephen Vladek. So here it goes. This is Justice Souter. He was writing about another legal historian that he admired. And the language is you know, a rich, but stay with me here because I think it's quite powerful. Chronic even-handedness compels a judge to come out and say what he or she was really choosing between. The torment of competing reasons forced the judge to face the very facts that placed his principles in tension. And not just to face the facts, but to heft them and feel their weight until finally the needle of his mind moved off dead center. The account of judge and man and their mutual integrity are companions. Not about what a judge's judging was, but about what anyone's judging ought to be. To place evidence out in plain sight, to explain your reasoning unhurried, that the analysis has no shortcuts, that there are no stretches lost from sight behind some edifice of generality, that your relentless honesty in testing evidence and treating issues create an atmosphere around each case and each question. Every judge has common obligations to be suspicious of easy cases, skeptical about clear-edged categories and bright-line rules, to be modest in the face of precedent, candid in playing one worthy principle against another, and to have the nerve to do it in concrete facts on an open page. We are all urged to hunt for, quote, general guidance from close examination of the particular, acknowledging that details spark the intuition and real judging gets done from the ground up. So we come to a judicial paradox that we have no hope of serving the most exalted without respecting the most concrete. Judicial duty points to Blake's grain of hand. It is what the old common law judges understood and what Antoninus knew, whose strength never failed him until he lost touch with the earth. While I cannot tell you what I will do with the dilemmas, the cases already on their way to my court, I think I will know enough to treat with them by being the kind of judge that common law requires. To know that you haven't got the answers up your sleeve, to not prejudge, but to decide the cases as they come along. This lesson is so simple. Justice Souter took his obligation to analyze questions as they come along without pre-deciding them, without adherence to team or tribe. This is every American's call to action today. I say, not never again any Souters. We need more Justice Souters. We need you to be a Justice Souter. That's going to do it for me. Stay tuned for Pete Schwabba. I'm Maggie Dawn. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Severe storms that tore through parts of Missouri yesterday have killed at least seven people, five of whom died in St. Louis when a tornado touched down. This man lost his home.
When I pulled up to my house, my heart dropped to my feet.
Odyssey St. Louis reporter Sean Malone has seen widespread damage.
Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard represents the 10th Ward, where many of the hardest hit neighborhoods are.
I had to walk under down wires. I had to walk through tape. What I will say is I saw the community showing up. I saw people showing up with chainsaws trying to get trees out of the way and get in clear roads so that people could get here, which is good because we have first responders that we need to get through and people that need to get through.
Sean Malone for CBS News, St. Louis.
Two people have died in a shooting at the Las Vegas Athletic Club. Among the dead, the shooter, who was killed by police as he ran out the door. Three others were injured and taken to the hospital. This woman heard the attack.